So I'm licking.
I want to take note of the fact that I received several comments on the last shear that I sent out before Rosh Hashanah, which didn't have a video associated with it. It was only recording. It was only 11 minutes old. 11 minutes long. And that was interesting. I guess I probably should speak less. At any event, Slichus is soon, and the day has been packed, and probably nobody there has got a lot of time either. So you'll note over here, it says this, on the daf, it says Yom Kippur 5783. Noticing you have the poshim, the short version. There's a short version, and then there's a long version. And even the long version is pretty deeply synopsized. But we're going to do the short version, because I certainly think at this juncture in time, brevity is the soul of wit. Let's take a look here. One of the biggest issues in the Tshuva Yomim Tovim, Yomim Noraim process is that we don't believe ourselves. Perhaps I'm projecting. We go through the motions and know, for all intents and purposes, that we'll be back saying the same thing, if Hashem gives us life, next year. Perhaps if we change our holy imagery of the entire process, it will be possible to make a change. So I wanted to talk about, really, about just a few things. Once again, I'm synopsizing, and this is the intention here is to really is to be brief, because people are very, very busy before Yom Kippur. Let's get the point across quickly. The Maral addresses, and this is something we spoke about last year, but we'll speak about it again, because I think it's an important idea. The Maral talks about the Medrash that compares the entire process of the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Seir Lifnim. We know there are two goats matched together. One was shechted, and its blood was brought into the Kodesh Kodashim, and the other was kept alive and sent off to be thrown off a cliff outside of Yerushalayim, in the desert someplace. The Seir Lazazel that was cast away, and the Seir of Pnimi that's meant to go inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Kodesh Kodashim, the blood that is. And the Medrash compares these two processes, or these two parallel processes, to two individuals. One whose head is shaved bald, and the other one who has dreadlocks, got long, got very curly hair. And they are standing in a threshing floor. We know when we're threshing, a lot of chaff is blowing in the air, and the one who is got the bald head, any chaff that lands on his head, he just takes his hand and wipes it off, because there's nothing to hold it there. As opposed to the individual who's got very complex tresses, he has a devil of a time. Getting all the chaff and straw out of his hair. Says the Maral, this is the difference of two personalities, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is an Ish Halak, Esav is an Ish Seir. Yaakov is a smooth person, Esav is a hairy person. The idea being that Yaakov, if you use the chaff as an example of inappropriate actions in this world, Avera's preoccupation with Olam Hazeh, etc., 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 to Yaakov that's really foreign. It's not his essence. It's not who he really is, even though he may get involved in it. But it's easy for him, as it were, to wipe off his head. And he's clean, because it was never really him to begin with. Esav, on the other hand, he's not able to depart from the chaff and the straw so easily that's become intertangled in his hair, because that's really who he is. He is a person of this world. He's a person steeped in Olam Hazeh. And the moral continues. He says that's why the Seir that has two aspects to it. The goat, it has its blood, and Chazal tells us the blood of the goat is very similar to the blood of a human. And that's how the brothers of Yosef, they dipped their brother, Yosef's jacket, into the blood of a goat, and said, "Is this not your son?" Saying to their father Yaakov, "This is not your son's cloak. It has blood in it, blood on it. It must have been killed by an animal, etc." So the blood of the goat and the blood of a human being are very similar. The bodies are obviously very, very different. The blood of the Seir that represents, in this case, Yaakov, goes all the way into the Kodesh Kodashim. Whereas the body of the other goat, which is not shechted, which is not sacrificed, but instead thrown off a cliff, it's the body that's thrown off the cliff. That's one point. We have to realize that what we're trying to come to grips with on Yom Kippur is not so much that we are garbage, right? We're not garbage. Hashem doesn't invest in garbage. We are excellent. However, we picked up habits, and we begin to think after a while that these habits are us, and they're not us. Sometimes they're so deeply, deeply ingrained that it's hard for us to differentiate. We're so accustomed to them, we begin to think that this is really our identity, is this our personality, but it's a mistake, it's not. This is a very fundamental idea. Sadek says in the Pasuk, Eish shalata adam ba'adam, l'ra lo, one person is where it takes dominion over another person to his detriment. It doesn't mean necessarily, the Pasuk in Kohelet doesn't necessarily mean, says Rav Tzadok, that one person enslaves another, oppresses another, or a person can oppress himself. He can oppress himself. And sometimes he so consistently does it, he can't remember who he is anymore. Some people have a minig of saying psukim at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Psukim, you see it in most Siddurim, they have it there. Psukim, they're associated with different names. Let's use your list at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. And they say that those psukim are a school list that you shouldn't forget your name when you get upstairs at the end of 120. So the question be asked, why would you forget your name? Your name is your essence. Why would you forget your name? And I think perhaps the answer is, this is my conjecture, I didn't see this inside, that one might forget one's name if one never lived who one was. And if we were so accustomed to living a false personality, then perhaps we could forget who we really are. We could forget who we really are. Let's continue on this topic. And the other direction, not just in terms of rediscovering ourselves, but we have to rediscover Hashem. And that the Noam Elimelech, Rav Melech Lezhensk, says on the Pasuk, Dirshu Hashem Behimotso. We know that we're Aseres Yitshuva. This Pasuk, Dirshu Hashem Behimotso. Search out for Hashem when he is found closest, right? Which is a reference to these 10 days, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and inclusive of Yom Kippurim. Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo kruo u'bioso korov. So the Noam Elimelech, the Melech Melezhensk says, Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo, just as the Mekubalim teach us that Hashem gave us reality by ki'ilu, receding. That's a physical word, you can't really say it, by hiding his presence. That gave us room to exist. Sometimes we crowd out of Hashem out of our lives. And we can't crowd him out of reality, because he is reality. But we can crowd him out of our lives. If we wish to find him, right, we have to follow and we have to replicate the same methodology used vis-a-vis us. He either receded, he constricted, he limited himself in order to be able to find a place for us, to give us a place. So if we wish to search for Hashem, we have to recede a little bit. Right, we have to put our egocentric universe on the back burner, or perhaps off the stove altogether, in order to be able to find him. Let's take a look, and this is really the main topic over here, and once again I'm going to be brief. Here's a quote from the Ela. That's the end of the story. And that's the end of the story. All the stops have been pulled out by Ela. If we don't have this strength by Ela, then, you know, it's Achenvei. What can we say? It's not good. It says in Ela, Ata nosen yad l'poshim. See it over here? Right. Ata nosen yad l'poshim v'yimin chav shuta l'kabel shavim. You give a yad to the poshim, your right hand is extended to the shavim, those who return, right? Then you taught us to confess, right? Vidui, what we did wrong before you, all our sins, so that we should be removed, right? Right? We should cease to be, right, connected to Oshik Yadenu, the oppression of our hands. So Art Scroll translates as follows. You reach out a hand to willful sinners, and your right hand is extended to accept penitence. You taught us, Hashem, our God, to confess before you regarding all our sins, that we can withdraw our hands from oppression. And the word Oshik, Bederech Klal, they say, is usually used Oshek schar sachir, if someone owes a worker, he hasn't paid him. So that's called Oshek. And the fact is that any money that's ill-begotten in our hands at the expense of our friend and neighbor, that it's Oshek. And so many Mepharshim say that the reason they use the terminology over here is because it's to awaken us that, you know, a big Avera is stealing. And the truth is that Yom Kippur doesn't cleanse a person completely until he makes amends to his friend. So if we have some Oshek, right, and if hopefully if we say enough Vidui, we'll realize I have to commit now to paying back my friend the money that I owe him, I stole from him, I didn't return to him, I didn't pay him, etc., etc., etc. Fine. Okay. But I think that there's more here in this paragraph. Not that this is incorrect, but the article translates as true. But I think there's more here, and I think if we search for the little bit more that's here, I think perhaps we might open up for ourselves a new chapter in the way we deal with Yom Kippur. First of all, let's examine. Atanosen yad l'poshim. You give hand to the poshim. First of all, why is Hashem giving a hand to poshim? I mean, does it mean that we used to be sinners? It's a little bit funny. Because in the next line, he says, V'yamin chapshut l'kabel shavim. He's clearly differentiating between people who did tshuva and people who didn't do tshuva. So, nosen yad l'poshim, it appears that you give a hand to the sinners. And the fact is, there are some who explain that as meaning that you give man bechira. You give him, you know, you give him the opportunity, right, to do what he called to do what he does, and in terms of becomes a boshea. But then at the same time, you mean chapshut l'kabel shavim. Okay, that's one possibility. But I think there's a different way to explain it. But that does require of us. What does it mean? You give a yad l'poshim. Why are you giving any sort of yad to a person who's not penitent, who's not repenting? You mean pshut to the kabel shavim. Your right hand is extended to receive those who are shavu tshuva. So why are you giving any hand to those people not being shavu tshuva? It also appears that atanos and yad l'poshim, if the first part of the statement says yad l'poshim, and the second says yamin pshuta, so the yad that's being referred to is the left hand. You give the left hand to the poshim, right? And you give the right hand is extended to the shavim. Okay, fine. So then he's understanding. And then it completes itself with the Labdenu Hashem Elokeinu Lisvados. He taught us to say vidui, to repent. Verbally confess before you, all our sins, l'man nechtal me'oshek yadenu, so that we should. Now, this idea of referring that it's referring to, you know, it's a reference to stealing, and this way we would get ourselves to commit to paying back our debts, you know, and the money that we owed, money we took, non-halakhically, etc., etc., etc. Well, yeah, it's interesting, but it just seems a little bit, you know, okay. I think it's just a little bit, you know, stretched. Okay, for sure you can understand it that way. But I think there's more to be understood. The Nor Rabbi Yehuda, right, he addresses this anthropomorphic, and in the long version of this, you'll see it's really quite involved, but I'm being makatzer. the right hand and the left hand. Right hand and left hand. I think if we examine this, we'll have a little bit of a better understanding of both Averas, what they do, and repentance. And I think it'll be in keeping with what we said earlier, that we have to search for our real selves on Yom Kippur. So let's take a look. Right. We said already that the right hand is usually associated with Chesed, Yamin. Right? You mean the stronger hand. The right hand is always associated with chesed. That's in all the literature. The left hand is associated with din. Right? Which means it's a din. Okay, let's just put that in our back pocket. Let's become acquainted with the mechanics of sin. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva teaches us that it's based upon the Gemara in Yuma, that there are arba chalukei kapara. There are four different levels of kapara, of cleansing. And it depends on the severity of the sin. The person is mevatel, if he negates, if he fails to fulfill a positive commandment. Let's say, I went into a kriza, as they would say in Hebrew. I decided to cut off my tzitzis, God forbid, from my four-cornered garment, and I walked around with four-cornered garments, or sukkahs is coming here to say, no, I'm going to eat a full meal outside the sukkah. So I've negated a positive commandment. In order to correct, to expiate the issue, is just requires still getting emails. Just requires that the individual do tshuva, and then the job is taken care of. Tshuva. If a person, however, is over in a mitzvah lo saseh, a negative commandment, he ate treif, he wore kilayim, we don't have to go through all 365, then a person cries tshuva and Yom Kippur. If a person was over on an avera that had, as its punishment, not just for a negative prohibition, but the severity was such that he begat chayv either koreis or potentially mises bezdin, depending on, you know, for the witnesses, etc., depending. So then he requires both tshuva and Yom Kippur, and the job is only finished with Yisurim, suffering. Again, how much the suffering is, where it comes, how it comes, that's Hashem's business. I'm not getting into that. Right? It also is not an indictment of everybody who suffers. That means that they were over in a chavi krisis, because there are many reasons why persons suffer. A person can suffer as, what is it, tzaddikim on the door, right? He's mechaper on the door, etc. There are many reasons why people suffer. This is not an indictment that people suffer. But the other side is true, that in order to remove the full blemish of an avera, which is chavi krisis, chavi mises bezdin, one requires suffering. Once again, of course, Baruch Hu determines how much suffering, what sort, what, in what packages, etc. And for Chil Hashem, a person is never completely finished with his job until he leaves this world. Okay, that's what the Gemara talks about. So now, so we see that a person is an unfinished product under most circumstances with tshuva alone. Needs tshuva. Only tshuva is sufficient only for mitzvah seseh. Tshuva. Sometimes he needs Yom Kippur in addition to tshuva. Sometimes he needs Surim in addition to, right? Tshuva and Yom Kippur. Sometimes he needs just his ultimate passing. Okay, so we can live with that. I mean, of course, we may not be happy about it, but we can live with that. But then the Rambam teaches us also in the seventh parak of Hilchos Teshuva, he tells us that look at the difference of tshuva. A person who, before he's done tshuva, he has erected a barrier between himself and the Creator. So much that his mitzvahs are not accepted, his tefillos don't pass through a barrier. Again, we should just know that we were taught, right? The Ari, others teach that when a person finally does fix himself up with tshuva, so then all of his tefillos go upstairs, all of his mitzvahs are accepted, etc. It's not like they, you know, we shouldn't go around thinking, okay, you know, that's it, my life is over. I mean, most of the things I did before, when I hadn't done tshuva yet, so now I might as well just, you know, cast myself on the nearest parapet. No, they're held in abeyance. They're held in abeyance. It's blocked, but they're held in abeyance. But this causes for us an issue over here. Because we said there's certain averas that tshuva alone is not enough. You need tshuva, you need tshuva Yom Kippur, you need tshuva Yom Kippur and Yisurim, you need tshuva Yom Kippur, Yisurim, right? Suffering and death. So what does that mean? What am I doing? Until then, my mitzvahs are meaningless. Until then, my tefillahs don't mean anything. Why am I davening? Okay, we said it's true that the tefillahs eventually do go upstairs, but it's a very difficult thing to live with. It says in Rabbi Yehuda that really, the issue is vidui. And when a person is misvada, because the goal of vidui, if we take it at all seriously, if we're not just, mouthing words, beating our breast, etc. But we really think about it a little bit. Right? What we've done wrong, we come to grips with the sin. We come to grips with our culpability. We come to grips with the fact that we are responsible for having done something that's wrong. When a person comes to grips with that, so then the vidui is successful. Charata. He regrets. He regrets having done it. Says the Noi Yehuda, that's what's necessary to take down this barrier. To be completely cleansed, it's true, perhaps you need tshuva and Yom Kippur, tshuva Yom Kippur, and Yisurim, tshuva Yom Kippur, Yisurim, and even Misa, right? Talks about Chil Hashem. And all these things can be discussed, but not right now. But to remove the barrier, vidui. Vidui, sincere vidui, and then that brings to charata, and then the barrier is down. Why? Because the person has come to grips with the fact that that's not me. That's the other guy. That's the false me. That's the false persona. That's the Esav, pretending to be Yaakov. But that's not me. That's not me. And we have to believe that it's really not me. Therefore, right, if we understand now, Atan nosen yad l'poshim, the mean of chesed of Hashem is there to be mekabel shavim. The person who wants to be shoved, the person who is misvada. That's what it says, but lamdeinu, Hashem lekein lisvados. You taught us to be duvidue. I'll call it on a senu. That makes us shavim. That removes the barrier. And on Yom Kippur, so that's what he called. We've taken care of both of our mitzvahs asay and our mitzvahs los asay. Might require what he called Yisurim as well. God should spare us in ways that are known to him, etc. But it might be necessary. But in terms of finding myself, I found myself. The barrier is no longer there. The barrier only exists when I'm living a false self. That's the idea that the Rambam is telling us. He's not just telling us this is cruelty on the part of Hashem. I don't know you, because you're not being you. It's not that I don't know you, I don't want to know you. I can't know you because you're not you. With the vidui, that brings the charata. I come to grips with what I've done. I shed the false persona. Hashem says, you're home. You're home, there is no barrier between us. You got to clean up some of the mess that you made. That might need Yom Kippur. That might need Yisurim. It might even need something even more severe, etc. But there's no barriers between us. The Noda Yehuda says the first part, Hanosin Yad LaPoshim, is referring to the left hand. That's the Midas Adin. Because even the Midas Adin, and if we think back on some difficult experiences we might have had, again, this is not an indictment of people who have Yisurim. Because there are many reasons why people can have Yisurim. But I think all of us, to one degree or another, know when Hashem is tapping us on the shoulder with a little bit of a potch, of a flick. Maybe we're not always, don't always know that. And perhaps sometimes we're blaming ourselves for things that we didn't do. Maybe, like, there are other cheshbonos of why Hashem is bringing this term, but there are many times, I remember, this is maybe, you might say it's a mishagas. I was once driving a car, right? It wasn't a new car, but, you know, everybody has their limits for gaiva. And it was tuned up, and it was a stick shift, and because I'm male. So, for some reason, when you're driving a stick shift car, I mean, at least on me, I don't know, you think you're Mario Andretti. Of course, most of you don't know who Mario Andretti was. A.J. Foyt, that doesn't help you either. These are race car drivers. So I'm driving on the highway, right, and I'm thinking, you know, the car is tuned up, and it wasn't a new car either. It wasn't new when I bought it, right? Shtel Zachfor, they've been driving several years, it was tuned up, and, you know, I'm king of the road, right? And I'm in some, you know, other world there, you know. And all of a sudden, the gear shift is in my hand. That's no longer attached. And it was like, you know, oh, I got the point, right? Like, you, hello? Like, could you live in reality? Think about something else other than the fact that you would quote that maybe your name is Mario Andretti, you should be eating spaghetti in Italy or something like that. Hello, hello. So, there's still a little piece sticking up, you know, from the gearbox there. And instead of the roar of the lion, instead it was now the mouse. I shifted down, pulled everything, and over to the side of the road, jammed the thing back on again, and I was a good boy. I think, you know, this is a very, you know, you might think this is funny, but that's a... We sense sometimes. It's a nosen yad l'poshim, the left hand. It might be a flick. It's out of love. It's tough love. We're still being poshim. We haven't awakened yet. Hashem sends it to us. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Once again, there are lots of reasons for Yisurim. I'm not saying the only ones are because of a person's severity of Avera. With different cheshbonos, all different types, etc. That's not a discussion right now. But I think we're all familiar with the scenario. Ata nosen yad l'poshim. You want us to come home. You want us to be us. To be us. Not just to make you happy, right? You want us to be who we are. V'yemincha pshuta l'kabel shavim. And if we indeed are shav, then your right hand, the hand of chesed, is extended towards us. V'atlamdenu Hashem l'kinu l'hizvados l'fanecha. And your Torah is to be mizvada before you. And here I will synopsize that which the Shem Yishmul says, is that we should cease the oppression of ourselves. He uses similar ideas to that which the Tzlach, the Norab Yehuda, used. To cease oppressing ourselves. Because when you're not yourself, you really are oppressing yourself. You're not yourself. So, I think that was short. And once again, if you're interested, there's a longer version, which will take us to Yecheskel and to Gorim Sachim and all sorts of interesting things. But I don't think it's a time and place for it right now. So, may we all have a Gemar Chasima Tova. Of Klai Yisrael, the Gemara Chasima Tova. May we truly find ourselves, because the way of tshuva, right, is not just to please Hashem in spite of ourselves, but it's to please Hashem because He is sameach that we've really found ourselves. Good tshuva, Gemara Chasima Tova for us and all the Jewish people. Be well.